This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد Respected brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, I will be talking for a short while about the implementation of Quran and Sunnah in our time and the challenges. Why nowadays, for some people, they feel that it is difficult to follow the Quran and Sunnah? What are the challenges? And how can we overcome these challenges? The religion of Islam is perfect. And Allah Azza wa Jal praised this ummah when they follow the religion. As Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best of nation that is produced for mankind. And Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah Himself reminded us that He completed the religion. The religion is perfect. So where comes the problem? Why people sometimes find it difficult or feel that it is difficult to follow the Quran and Sunnah? And if I asked you now, honestly, if someone asked you, can you follow all the rulings of the Quran and Sunnah? Is it hard or it is easy? Many people have the notion that it is difficult. You stay away from this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you have to do this, you have to do that. And they have the feeling that following the Quran and Sunnah is difficult. That's the feeling of some people. Although Allah Himself says in the Quran, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah does not intend to make things difficult in our religion. The main factor for people that find it challenging to follow Quran and Sunnah is not knowing, the ignorance. Many of us read the Quran. Many of us read the books of Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But somehow we either miss the point, we don't understand exactly what it means, or we think that we have to do harder than it is supposed to be done. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is very easy to follow. And Allah reminded us many times that the Prophet ﷺ is a perfect example. And he is only a human being like us. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. If the Prophet ﷺ can do it, you also can do it. The only difference, Allah said, يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. The only difference the Prophet ﷺ had is that he receives the revelation. Many of us don't know. And this is why, in speeches, in talks, to Muslims and non-Muslims, they ask, is Islam this? Is Islam that? And you keep telling them what Islam is not. You want to correct the image of Islam because all what they knew about Islam was wrong. It wasn't actually correct. By the time you want to talk about what Islam is really, what it is about, you don't have enough time. Why? Most of them have wrong understanding or not clear idea about the religion of Islam. And I will try to give one example. Attending the prayer on time, performing the prayer on time, this is one of the best deeds that you come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أي العمل أحب إلى الله؟ What is the best of deeds? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الصلاة لوقتها. Prayer on time. What happens if you didn't pray on time? You should feel that you missed something which is the best of deeds. We find some people trying to blame others, trying to criticize them, trying to put a lot of burden just because they missed the prayer when they had an excuse. I'm not saying go ahead and miss the prayer. Go ahead, don't pray. But in case it didn't happen because of an excuse, you make up the prayer and you move on. Allah Azza wa Jal is most merciful. And many of us focus on the punishment factor instead of focusing on the mercy as well. We have both sides in our religion. One time, and this is the example, this is in Sunan Abi Dawud. One woman came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining to him about her husband. Her husband, Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil, radiallahu anhu. She told him, O Messenger of Allah, my husband, he beats me up when I pray. And when I fast, he prevents me from fasting. And he doesn't pray subh until sunrise. She complained about three things. Three things. If you are sitting and one told you, your friend is doing those three things, maybe you will feel bad about your friend. You will say, why he's doing that? Beating up your wife? This is not a good thing. Making her break the fast after she's fasting, that's not a good thing. Praying subh prayer at sunrise instead of praying on time, that's not a good thing. So the Prophet ﷺ, the perfect example, he didn't make the judgment as many of us would do. He confirmed, he asked Safwan, he was there. He asked him, what do you say about what your wife is telling me? Do you do that? He said, yes, Messenger of Allah, I admit, I do that. But here is my explanation. My wife reads two surahs. And I have been telling her several times to read only one surah. And she didn't do that. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? If people read only one surah, it would be sufficient. It would be sufficient. What about the other thing? My wife, she fasts without letting me know. I am a young man and I have desire. So I come to her and I find that she is fasting. And I don't like that. The Prophet ﷺ said, no woman should fast without the permission of her husband. The third thing, what about subh prayer? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I am a man of my family. We are known, me and my family, we are known that we sleep a lot. It's just something that is happening. We don't wake up until sunrise. Not that I sleep late in the night and wait before subh and then I sleep to miss the prayer. No, I sleep on time, but I don't wake up. This is something that is known in our family. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? You are a bad man, you shouldn't do that, you have to try, put the alarm on. He told him, when you wake up, perform the prayer. This is just one example to show how Islam is easy. This is in Sunan Abi Dawud. The hadith is authentic. And there are many examples like that. People sometimes, because of good intention, they want to try hard, but because they are trying hard, they are missing the point. They think that Islam is hard to follow. The Quran and Sunnah, they are difficult to be implemented fully. And the reality is, they are not difficult. Allah, our Creator, He knows what is good for us. He knows what is useful for us. He reminded us, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Doesn't He know whom He created? Who did He create? Allah, of course, knows us. He knows what is best for us. And that's why He told us to do this, not to do that. Nowadays, only now, a lot of scientific discoveries confirming things that they used to be done in the past without knowing why we do that. A simple example. The recommendation of the Prophet ﷺ to fast the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of the lunar month, These are the days when the moon is full. Scientifically, it is proven that when the moon is full, all living creatures, they are in their fullest activity. Simple example also, mosquitoes. You complain from mosquito bites. They happen a lot of times on the 15th of when the moon is full. So to counter that, what do you do? If you have a lot of activities, your teenager children, you are recommended to fast those 3 days. So you calm down your nature. This is something was not known in the past. When scientists were studying the earth and the moon and the relationship, 1400 years ago, this is something was not known. But the Prophet ﷺ recommended for us to fast 13th, 14th, and 15th. A lot of examples like that. One main factor for people not to follow the Quran and Sunnah is ignorance. Not necessarily ignorance of the Quran. They may read the Quran. They may be able to understand the Quran. But they didn't get the full picture that in the Quran and the Sunnah, there is our life. Not only in the hereafter, but here in this dunya. Our happiness, our comfort, our perfect way of life. People are trying a lot of things, but they forget to go back to the source, to the Quran and Sunnah. You have a lot of people, they have a lot of money, they have a lot of things of this dunya, they have a good job, but they are not living comfortably. Allah promised, and if you trust Allah, you should believe His promise. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. He who does righteous good deeds while he is a believer, we will surely give him a good life. You want the good life? Follow the Quran and Sunnah. So this is one of the main things, that we are missing the purpose, the real purpose of the Quran and Sunnah. It is not about excessive ibadah. It's good to come to the masjid and pray. It's good to pray Qiyamul Layl. It's good to fast. But it's not about the numbers. It is about the purpose. It is about your intention. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he talks about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he says, Abu Bakr was the best of companions, not because of excessive ibadah. It is something settled in his heart. So do you have that certainty that you are following the Quran and Sunnah? Not only because Allah told you to do so, so you have no option but to follow it, but you are sure that it is going to give you the happiness that you are looking for. Allah says in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak, the second ayah, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is He who created death and life to test you. Who is the best? Not the most. You could do a lot of deeds, but they don't count because the quality of those deeds were not there. So we need to go back and to correct our understanding for the Quran and Sunnah, Muslims and non-Muslims as well. Many times I was asked by non-Muslims, why Islam allowed marrying more than one wife? Don't you think that this is wrong? And I immediately say, Islam didn't allow marrying more than one wife. And they are shocked. Really? Islam doesn't allow marrying more than one wife? Islam limited the option. Before Islam, people were allowed to marry as many as they want. One man came to the Prophet ﷺ from Thaqif, from the tribe of Thaqif. He was marrying 10 wives. 10! The Prophet ﷺ told him, you have to keep only 4. That's the maximum. So this is not something new. This used to happen in the past. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, how many wives did they have? Hundreds? So why when it comes to Islam, you say why Islam allowed it? Islam didn't allow it. Islam limited that option. It was already there. Another example, why women in Islam, they have to cover their head? And we try to give the correct understanding. From the beginning, you ask them, why not? It's not only Islam, it's all religions. It's in the Bible. a woman shall not show her hair. That's in the Bible. So the correct understanding is not there of the Quran and the Sunnah. That's something that we need really to focus on. The ignorance comes in many ways. Not knowing, that's one thing. And knowing something as it is not exactly in reality. Thinking that this is a must while it is not a must. Or doing something that it is a sunnah while it is not a sunnah. Or doing something and saying you have to do it while it's only a sunnah. When we say sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that's what it is. It is a sunnah. So it doesn't mean that you have to do it every single time. If you wanted to do it, alhamdulillah, you are getting the reward. People on Friday, and this is the example I'd like to give, subh prayer, what are they recommended to read for the imam? Do you know? On Friday, in the subh prayer. You know? Very good. Surah Al-Sajdah and Surah Al-Insan. That's what is recommended. One time, I wanted to teach the people. They pray behind me. So I didn't read Surah Al-Sajdah or Surah Al-Insan. And some of them asked, why didn't you read it? And I said, why not? Is it a must? And then they stopped. They started asking, is it really a must? It's not a must. It's only a sunnah. That's why some people think that subh prayer is 2 rak'ah, except on Friday it is 3 rak'ah. Who said that? It's always 2 rak'ah. It's only recommended. It's not mandatory. You want to do it a few times a month, 3 times a month. You want to do it a few times a month, or one time only, and you want to leave it 1 month and then do it, it's only a sunnah. We have to encourage doing the sunnah, but we cannot say a sunnah is fard. It is mandatory. The Prophet ﷺ did his best to teach us everything that is useful for us. That's why he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا. I left nothing that will bring you close to Allah except I told you about it. And I left nothing that will cause you to enter hellfire except that I warned you against it. That's it. So, still some people feel that it is hard. They look at the punishment system in Islam and they think that this is what Islam is about. Punishment system is only one aspect of the entire religion. The entire religion of Islam is not only punishment system. That's only one aspect. And it only happened in the later stage after the society and the Islamic state was established. In Mecca, there was no Islamic system of punishment. So we need to have the correct understanding of the religion. The correct understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. Ignorance is the main factor for people not to follow the good example of the Quran and Sunnah. We need to encounter that by learning more, listening to the rightly guided ulama, the scholars and the teachers, who always go back to the Quran and Sunnah, as Allah Azza wa Jal recommended. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. This is in Surah An-Nisa. If you dispute regarding a matter, you go back to the reference. What is our reference? It is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is one of the main factors why we have a challenge in following the Quran and Sunnah, because of ignorance. The second main factor also as a challenge for not following the Quran and Sunnah is the propaganda that we see around the world from the non-Muslims mainly, and from some Muslims also sometimes, that Islam is not suitable for our time. And that's again is not true. It is a lie. People are trying to give the impression that Islam is not valid. You can pray in the masjid, you can fast, you can wear hijab, but that's it. This is Islam. Dealing in business, transactions, traveling, even diplomatic relations, Islam has nothing to say about this, and this is wrong. Everything is there in Islam. There is everything in the Quran and Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal said, this religion is perfect. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. The perfection of our religion includes following all things, even in our dunya. Even in our dunya. Even diplomatic relations. The Prophet ﷺ set a proper example. Not only that, one interesting thing about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, nowadays, people learn in hospitality management and hotels, services, how to place the dishes and spoons and other things, how to treat the guests, how to meet them. All that is there in our religion. All that is there in our religion. The etiquette, what they call it, we have all of that in our religion. So when people say Islam may be valid only in one aspect, but not in everything, Islam may be valid in certain era, in certain time, not in our time, that is not correct. This is what the kuffar are trying to say about our religion. Our religion is perfect and it is suitable for all times, for all people. But we have to show the proper example. And that leads to the third and last main reason as a challenge. Why people are not following the Quran and Sunnah. Because unfortunately, we have some bad examples. And we have to admit it. We have some people who are supposed to represent Islam, who are supposed to speak on behalf of Islam, and they are not giving the right image of Islam. And that harms a lot of people and harms the image of Islam. Before we speak to others, we have to know who they are. We have to know what to say. It's not just because we are Muslims, so everything will be fine. We have to do our homework. When Ja'far radiallahu anh was in Abyssinia, and An-Najashi, who was Christian, summoned him and told him to come to tell him what Islam really says about Isa alayhi salam, about Jesus Christ alayhi salam. Ja'far radiallahu anh chose a suitable passage. He chose Surah Maryam. And he talked to him about Isa alayhi salam from the Quran. He told him what Islam is really about. Nowadays, when people say, look at Muslims and what they are doing, they are killing innocent people. Now, this is not what Islam is telling us. And in reality, that's not what Muslims are doing. Maybe one simple, tiny percentage. It's not even 1%. Less than that. But to say that they represent the image of Islam, that is a lie. But at the same time, we have to admit there are people who are misrepresenting Islam, misusing the name of the religion, either for personal advantage or for political reason, for whatever reason they are doing, it is not right. And it has to be stopped. This is something happened even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. For any reason, for misunderstanding Islam, thinking that we have to do more. And we have the example of the three companions who came to the Prophet ﷺ and they didn't find him, so they found the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and they asked them about the ibadah of the Prophet ﷺ. And they felt that this is not enough. The ibadah of the Prophet ﷺ to them was not enough. So what should they do? They have to do more. One of them said, I will pray the night and I will not sleep. Another one said, I will not marry women. Another one said, I will keep fasting all the days or I will not eat meat. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about those people? He encouraged them, yes, go ahead, the more you do, the better it is. No, he told them, I pray and I stop prayer. I sleep in the night. I eat meat and I break my fast. I marry women and that's my sunnah. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. In our time, we have also some examples like that. We have some people who are representing Islam. You want to listen to them and you cannot even understand what they are saying. It's happening. You have some people who say that Islam is only about jihad. We have to kill the kuffar. Jihad is part of Islam, and no one can deny that. But to say that Islam is only jihad, that is wrong. So giving a wrong image about Islam, that also harms what we are trying to do, correcting the path for people to follow. We shouldn't be selfish and say Islam only belongs to us. That Islam means you are a Muslim, so you'll enter Jannah. Others, they are a kuffar, and leave them alone. That's not the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He was able to do that, but he didn't. The most difficult day of the Prophet ﷺ, the most difficult day, was still a day of mercy. If I ask you, brothers, do you remember the most difficult day of your life? How did you feel? The Prophet ﷺ remembers that. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked him, O Messenger of Allah, was there any day more difficult than the day of Uhud? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. The day of Uhud was difficult. 70 of the companions were martyred, were killed. But that was not the most difficult day. His face was injured. His cheek was bleeding. But still, that was not the most difficult day. The Prophet ﷺ said, the most difficult day when I went to At-Ta'if and I offered myself to the three leaders of At-Ta'if and they rejected me. And they sent the people behind me throwing stones at me. That was the most difficult day. During that time, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet ﷺ, telling him, what do you want to do? I am authorized to do whatever you want. Any one of us would love to see some kind of revenge. Those people did that to me, so they have to be punished. Not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel alayhi salam told him, do you want me to close the two mountains on them so they will be crushed? He said, no. I hope that Allah will bring forth from their progeny people who will worship Allah. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Any one of us could say, let's use it as media propagation. Let's let people know that if they do that to me, this is what will happen to them. But the Prophet ﷺ never did that. He was true mercy to mankind. So are we, and this is the question that I want you to remember, please, brothers, are we giving a good image of Islam? Are we good representatives of Islam? When the Prophet ﷺ sent an ambassador to Medina, because people in Medina, when they accepted Islam, 12 people, they gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, they told him, we want someone to teach us. He didn't send the most knowledgeable person or the best person, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or Umar. No, he sent Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. He was the right person at the right place. He sent him as a good representative of Islam. So are you a good representative of Islam? Not only in the masjid, not only when you speak to people, not only at work, not only inside your house, but everywhere. Everywhere. Ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited to the masjid or in front of workers or inside your house. It is everywhere and it doesn't stop. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told at the last surah of the last ayah of Surah Al-Hijr, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. Until death. That's your job. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Allah says about Isa alayhi salam, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. And He made me blessing wherever I am. So are you, brothers, are you blessing for your families, for your children, for your co-workers, for your neighbors, for the people that know you? Are you blessing? Are you good example? Stop worrying about day-to-day life. It is part of life, who we are. Yes, we are worried, but Allah Azza wa Jal is taking care of that. On the day of Jumu'ah, this day, we are recommended to read Surah Al-Kahf. And in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Azza wa Jal told us the story of Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadr alayhi salam. Three incidents took place in that story. Three things. Two of them because of the righteousness of the father. If you are righteous, if you are sincere, Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of all your problems. You have to have that certainty. The young boy who was killed by Al-Khadr, when Musa alayhi salam saw that, he denied it and he said, أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. You killed a good soul, young boy, you kill him. Al-Khadr said, مَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. This is not something I did on my own, in my desire. The both parents of this young boy were believers, but he was disobedient. So we were afraid that he will cause them to disbelieve, and that's why he was killed. So Allah will replace them with a better boy for them. Allah sent messenger all the way to tell us this story because the parents were righteous. The wall that belonged to two youngsters that was about to fall and there was a treasure underneath it, Allah says, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was righteous. That's why I built it. Because if I left it and the treasure was uncovered and they are youngsters, they cannot take it. The people of the village are too mean to leave the treasure for them. They will take it. So I left the wall. When they grow up, they become strong, they will find it. Why? Their father was righteous. You are worried about insurance. You're worried about life savings. You're worried about security. You want all of that? Be righteous. This is the promise of Allah. That's not what I'm saying. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. Two of the three stories, because the father was righteous. So, again, I'd like to conclude with this, brothers. Are you good representatives to Islam? People are watching, and we live in a very beautiful society where we have people from all over the world, all walks of life. Muslims and non-Muslims, Christians and other religions, when they look at us, do they see a good example? The Prophet ﷺ, nobody could say anything bad about him. Not even one single thing. Neither before Islam or after Islam. When the kuffar kept asking and asking and asking for miracles, one miracle Allah Azza wa Jal told them in Surah Yunus, فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمَرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ. That was one of the greatest miracles. I have been living with you for 40 years. 40 years. Have you ever experienced one lie? Have you ever experienced one time I was not honest? I took your money? I did something and I broke my word? Never. So, brothers, following the Quran and Sunnah is not difficult. In our time, people are trying to make it difficult. And this is something the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. He said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا. Islam began as a strange thing. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأ. And it will become also strange as it started strange. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاء. Glad tidings for those who are strange. The companions asked, who are those who are strange, O Messenger of Allah, that they deserved the glad tidings? He said, الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ. Those who will reform what people are corrupting. We can make a lot of claims. I can say I am the best of people. You can say you are the best. Our words are easy to say, and people can make a lot of claims. But our actions, that's what matters, and that's what counts. This is what will judge us. Do we really, when we walk the walk, When we talk the talk, do we really walk the walk? Do we prove what we are saying? And that's what counts. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us good representatives of this religion. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His most beautiful names and perfect attributes, to give us the ability to follow the Quran and Sunnah. Allahumma, في هذا اليوم المبارك وفي هذا الحضور المبارك نسألك باسمك الأعظم الذي سئلت به إذا سئلت به أجبت أن ترحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين وأن ترزقنا الجنة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.